All right, well, if you have your Bibles, open up to Ephesians chapter 3. And while you're going there, I wanted to just take a little aside and talk about how the Bible so often calls us sheep. And that is a, I gotta say, that is a illustration, that's a word picture that I really, really, really relate to. Sheep are fluffy, you know, and we can relate there, right? And sheep are, for all intents and purposes, defenseless. They are in deep, desperate need of a shepherd. And this is the one where I relate to the most. Sheep are really, really, really dumb. They are so dumb. And so when the Bible calls us sheep, I relate to that. And as I read that over and over, the Lord is my shepherd, and Jesus saying he is the great shepherd, I'm so thankful for that, because there are times that I just feel so much like a sheep. You got that video? Let's watch some sheep. So he's struggling. Oh man, what a great picture of what the Lord does for us, and what a great picture of what we do. Yeah. Can anybody just say amen to that, right? I don't know about you, but I feel as though we can watch that again. You can play that again. I feel as though this is my life story. You know, the Lord is pulling me out, and I'm fighting it at every inch, and I've done something so dumb, and I'm so deep in my sin, I'm so deep in whatever muck or cavern I'm in, and oh, thank you, Lord, I'm free, let me go, and just, he jumps. It's just a swan dive right back into it. And so as I read the Bible, as I watch this video, as I think about how we are sheep, we're prone to wander. We're so prone to wander, aren't we? We're so prone to swan dive back into the hole. And it just hits me and just reminds me that we so desperately need the Lord. So desperately we need to cling to Him. So desperately we need to stick as close as possible to our shepherd. And as we think about how we're supposed to live this Christian life, how we're supposed to live in a way that would please and honor our God, if we're supposed to live a way that would be worthy of the gospel to which we've been called, the question I end up with is how? Because you've seen how I've done it. I'm going to guess that most of you can relate to that as well, right? And so if that's how we're going to live our life, if that's our nature, our default, again, prone to wander. It's not in the scriptures, but it's a song and it really, really fits. If that's what we're going to be, if that's how we're going to If that's how we're going to live our lives, then how can we live a life that is pleasing to God? I think it's the obvious and most natural answer is prayer. There's nothing in life of any eternal significance that we could do outside of the power of prayer. Now, I want you to think just for a moment, what was the last prayer that you prayed? Or maybe the last 10 prayers that you prayed. Lump them all together and average it out. What were the things that you were praying for? My guess is it went something like this. Father God, thank you for this day and for this food. Right? Don't we typically just pray for the food? Don't we just typically thank you, Lord, for this day? What are some other things that we would typically pray for? Well, maybe we're praying that Johnny would be healed from his cold, or that Susie would get over that sickness. Those are good things to pray for, and we should thank God for the food, and we should thank God for the beautiful day, and we should certainly bring our burdens and our anxieties and our cares before Him. The Bible instructs us to do just that. But I think that our tendency is to focus on the physical things, right? Am I alone in this? I think that a lot of times when we pray, we end up praying for those things that we can see. We end up praying for those physical struggles right before us. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. But I would think that, I would hope that our minds wouldn't just be focused on the physical things in front of us. That we would see the spiritual needs that we have. That we would be praying for the right things. That we would be praying for the things that could actually make a difference in how we live our lives. We need to be praying for the right things. We need to be praying that, Lord, you would change me. Not just my circumstances, change me. Don't just change the fact that, I mean, you go to that video again. It's so good. We don't have to actually go there. Just in your mind, go back, right? There's this ditch, right? And so maybe we need to pray, Lord, don't take away the ditch. Just take away my tendency to wander into the ditch. Lord, don't take away and make my circumstances better. Make me better. In Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 14 through 21. And in it, we see Paul, he is praying for the believers in Ephesus. And this is the second prayer that we see in the book. The first prayer is that they would understand things. This prayer is that they would do things. This prayer that Paul prays is for enablement, not just simply enlightenment. It's for enablement. It's praying that they would understand things, that they would know things, and that those things would change them. So let's read. I'll just read 14 through 21, and then we'll go back and we'll explore some of this together. Verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he might grant you to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So Paul is praying for the right things here. The first thing he's praying for is strength. He's praying for strength for the believers, Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to enable us to live a life that is pleasing to Christ. Let's read this again, verse 16, "that according to the riches of his glory he might grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Is there anything that we can do on our own power? I know of one thing I can do on my own power. You ready for it? Fail. When I try, I fail. When I trust in him, he succeeds. And so I need to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit within me. And the Holy Spirit is this awesome, awesome person. Not this awesome, awesome thing. This isn't Star Wars. This isn't some great force that comes in and can allow us to do things that we can never imagine. No, this is the third member of the triune God. This is God himself dwelling inside of us. And if God himself dwells inside of us, then he gives us strength to live for him. There's nothing that we can do on our own to please God. I've said it before, the only things that we, and it didn't originate with me, by the way, but the only thing that we contribute to our salvation is the sin that makes it necessary. The only thing that, and I'll go on from that and say, the only thing that we contribute to our sanctification process is the fact that it needs to happen. Think about your life. Think about your daily life and I'll just bring it back to me. Every single day, I want to live for God. Every single day, I wake up and I say, Lord, help me to choose you. But what am I saying just in that? Help me to choose you. Because on my own, will I choose him? On my own, will I choose to do what's right? On my own, do I have the strength and the power to open up his word Do I have the strength and power to go before him and pray? I can't even do that on my own. I need his power, his strength within me. We're in the midst of a strange time in our lives, a strange season. I'm going to say in this season of life, we certainly need the power, the strength of the Holy Spirit within us, enabling us to live in a way that honors our God. The only way that we can do that is to be praying for him to give us strength. Continues on, the next thing Paul is praying for is depth of relationship. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the height and breadth and length and depth. But let's go back to this, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded. Those two words, rooted and grounded, they're so powerful to me, because as I think about roots, I think about a tree that has roots that go deep into the ground. The deeper the roots, the higher the tree can grow. The deeper and stronger the roots, the more the tree can be sturdy and not be tossed by the wind, not be knocked down. And maybe the problem with our comprehension of American Christianity is that we only see the tree, we only see the plant, we only see what's above the surface. Maybe we need to pay more attention about what is underneath the surface. Maybe we need to pay more attention about the roots. Maybe we need to grow deeper so that we can grow out even stronger. So roots, we have that picture of a tree or a plant. And it's neat that the roots don't just go straight down, do they? They go down and then they also spread as well. We need to be rooted. We need to be rooted in the Word. We need to be rooted in prayer. We need to be rooted in love. We need to be rooted in our faith. We need to be rooted in our community. We need to be rooted so that when the storm comes, we're not tossed to and fro. But then grounded, that's another neat word as well. And it gives us another picture. When roots, we have that agricultural picture. But grounding, we get another picture. We start to think about maybe a building. If you want to make a building, what do you have to do first? You got to have a foundation, right? If you want to build up, you have to first build down. And I remember when I was a kid and my friends and I, we'd go out into the woods and we'd try to make shelters and different things like that. And we'd pile logs together and we'd do our best. But every time that we would come back a few weeks later and check out our shelter, it'd always be gone. It'd always fall down. The wind would knock it down. And then one day, we got the bright idea, we're going to dig. And so it was probably really, really illegal, but we were just kids. We didn't know what we were doing. And we didn't know whose land we were on either, but we just started digging. And we dug and we dug. And then from the hole that we made, then we built a shelter. And I'm not going to say that now today that shelter's still standing, but it might. You know, it was pretty sturdy, right? So here we have a picture of agriculture, a picture of a plant that is rooted, and it's not going anywhere. And then Paul also gives us this word grounded, thinking about a firm foundation, thinking about something that has a depth to it. And why do we need these two words, rooted and grounded? So that we can think about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just surface level, not just I go to church and it's great, not just, yeah, I listen to the Christian music radio station, it's awesome. No, an actual relationship. Think about a relationship that you have with a friend. I'm going to say that most of our relationships, unfortunately, they stay at that surface level, don't they? I had a friend a couple years ago that we were Sunday friends, right? We were at the same church and we'd hang out all the time at church on Sunday. But I didn't know what he did for a living. I didn't know anything about him except we talked about the Bears. And we talked about, you know, the weather, and that was about it. And so eventually, after like a couple years of this, literally a couple years, one of these days, I just went up to him and I said, you know, we talk about the Bears and we talk about weather. Is there anything else that we can or could talk about? And he goes, no, not really. And that was about the depth of our relationship. It's kind of sad, wasn't it? But then a couple years later, I saw him again outside of that church. We had both moved on, and I saw him a couple years later, and guess what words came out of our mouth? Can you believe those Bears? You know? And then we had a good laugh about that, and we talked about how it was really unfortunate that our relationship didn't go any deeper than that. And believe it or not, we actually started to have good conversations from that point on. But I'm saying all that because I feel as though that is how many of our relationships function. We have work friends, maybe we have Sunday church friends, maybe we have the community friends, maybe we have friends that are even in our own family, and we just stay at that surface level. If you're just staying at that surface level with those friends, aren't you missing a whole bunch? Aren't you missing a community? Aren't you missing somebody who could support you? Aren't you missing something? But it certainly is easier, isn't it? It's a lot less scary. Because if you go deep with somebody, then what inevitably will happen? You'll get hurt, right? If you share something with someone, then inevitably it's probably going to come back to you. So it's easier to stay at the surface level. It's a lot more comfortable to stay at that surface level. But we can't do that with God. Maybe it's easier to stay at that surface level with God. Maybe it's a lot less uncomfortable. Open up your Bible and you start reading some of the things and you're saying, wow, this was written for me. And it stings. Who likes doing that? Yeah, it's a lot easier just to kind of keep it closed and just show up on a Sunday and laugh at the video that the pastor puts up, right? That's a lot easier, isn't it? But we're missing so much. Jesus wants to have a relationship with us that is deep. He wants to have a relationship with us where he changes us. You hear about different relationships, boyfriends and girlfriends, and maybe the friends say, oh man, she changed you, and act like it's a bad thing. I've met some guys that have become boyfriends and had girlfriends, and I've said, man, she's changed you, and that's a good thing. The Lord, he changes us. He makes us more like Jesus, and that's a really, really good thing. But it's not going to happen if we stay at this surface level.
So Paul, he's rightly praying for a depth of relationship. He's also praying for this thing, and let's throw that next slide up. I want to introduce you to a new word. I typically don't do this, but this is not to flaunt my knowledge of Greek. Please don't think that. But I wanted to put this word up, and it's not an English word. So if you're sitting out there and you're looking and trying to adjust your glasses, don't worry. See, I'm not even going to say it right now. Contalambano. And this word is so deep. And I just had to put the word up there because I couldn't just put up prayer for comprehending. I couldn't just say prayer for apprehending, prayer for grasping. Because this word, it completely encapsulates all those things.
And so Paul, when he writes this, he says, we'll start at verse 17 again for the context, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend. That's the word that my ESV chooses to use, but that word, contalambano, it actually means so much more than that, to comprehend, to grasp, to lay a hold of, to apprehend. Typically, when we think about the word apprehend, we think about like a suspect running from the police, and the police apprehend him, right? And to me, when I hear the word apprehend, I think I kind of imagine somebody grabbing somebody else by the ankle and yanking them back, right? To be able to comprehend, apprehend, to grasp, lay a hold of with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Isn't this incredible? That in one breath, Paul says that we can grasp and apprehend and comprehend all that Jesus has for us, this great, deep, incredible love that he has for us. And in the same breath, he says this, the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. To know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. Isn't that great? Are you thinking, are you grasping that? Isn't that cool? We can comprehend, we can grasp, we can apprehend, we can know something that surpasses all knowledge. That's pretty neat. This is going way beyond just a head knowledge. This is going way beyond just the things that we can learn in Sunday school. This is going way beyond the stuff that is on the test. This is going from the head to the heart. This is going from this head knowledge to an experiential knowledge. And so because of the strength that we need through Jesus Christ, because of the depth of relationship that we can have with him, because of those two things, then we can have this knowledge of who God is because of the love of Jesus Christ. Knowing God's love, not just with our heads, but with our whole being. That's pretty neat. I want to know God's love. I don't want to just simply say, yeah, God loves, it's great. I want to actually fully grasp it, fully apprehend it, fully experience it. And we can when we have a deep relationship with Jesus Christ. And we can have a deep relationship with Jesus Christ when we are strengthened by the Holy Spirit. You see how one thing leads to the other? Paul prays that we would be strengthened. And he prays that we would be strengthened so that we can have a deep relationship with Christ. And he prays that we would have a deep relationship with Christ so that we can fully grasp, fully understand, fully apprehend the love that God has for us in Christ Jesus. And the last thing he prays for us is that we would have a fullness. And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Anybody ever heard the phrase, my life is full? I'm just so filled with joy. I'm just so filled with something. I'm just so full. Anybody hear that? And I think about that phrase. I think about being filled with the fullness of God. I love the wording there, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. That just sounds cool to me. It's kind of hard to understand. What does it mean to be filled with the fullness of God? Well, I'm going to say, it means we're being measured against Jesus Christ. How do we typically measure whether our lives are a success or not? Well, at least I don't have as much debt as that guy. At least my house is a little bit nicer than them. At least my job is more fulfilling than their job. You ever think about that? This comparison game that we all tend to play, this comparison game that is so easy, it's such a trap and we fall into it so quickly. But instead of comparing our lives and measuring our lives against other people, we need to measure it against Jesus Christ. Are we using the right measuring stick? Are we saying, Lord, I want my life to be full, I want my life to be filled with who you are, and the only way I can do that is to be compared against Jesus Christ. And if we're compared against Jesus Christ, you know what? We fall drastically short, don't we? We're all on the same playing field. We're all on the same level ground there. But thankfully, the work of the Holy Spirit, as he's strengthening us, is to make us more like Jesus. And as we are becoming more like Jesus, because we're being strengthened by the Holy Spirit, we're having a deeper relationship with that same Savior, Jesus. And as we have a deeper relationship with that same Savior, Jesus, then we actually get to experience and understand the incredible, surpassing knowledge, love of God. And as we understand this incredible love of God, then our life is full. You see how one leads to the other? This is what praying for the right things look like. We're praying, Lord, yes, I have physical needs. I have physical struggles. I have those burdens. Yes. God, will you take care of them? Will you prove yourself to be Lord in those situations? But even more than that, Lord, I know I'm a sheep. I know I'm prone to wander. I know I'm prone to just jump right back into that hole. And so, Lord, instead of jumping right back in the hole, will you give me strength? Would you give me a deep relationship with you? Would you help me to grasp your love for me? And will you let my life be full of you? The last thing that we're going to cover today is this doxology that Paul ends the chapter with. And we've read it before. We've closed the service with it before. Verse 20, it says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think." As, even if I just read those first couple of words, "Now to him who is able." Our God is able. Fill in the blank. It doesn't matter what comes next. He is able. And Paul just drives home the point because he just doesn't stop there. He says to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think. Isn't that incredible? Our God is able, and not only is he able, he is able to do more than we could ever think of, more than we could ever dream of. Think about the situation that you're in right now. Maybe you're in the midst of a very difficult circumstance. Our God is able to pull you through. In fact, our God is not just able to pull you through. Our God is able to do something in the midst of that circumstance, in the midst of your life, that you could never even dream of. To do more than we can ever ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. To him be the glory. To God be the glory and not us. Let's read this again. To him be the glory in the church. We talked about the church quite a bit here. Who is the church? What is the church? It's us. So are we living our lives in a way that gives God the glory? Are we living our lives in a way that just magnifies how awesome he is, that just magnifies the fact that he is able, that just incredibly just puts a spotlight on the fact that God is able to do much more, much greater, much more abundantly than anything we could think or ask or dream of, because he is God. And he is a great God. And he's a loving God. And he's a good, good God that will supply us with all the strength that we need. And when we have the strength that we need to live a life that is giving him the glory and the honor, then we can actually have a deep relationship with him, going far beyond the surface level. And when we go beyond that surface level, oh, the depths, the heights, the breadth, the length, the incredible, awesome love of God that we can understand. That incredible love that we can apprehend. Even though it surpasses all knowledge, we can grasp it because of God, because of Jesus. And if we can grasp that love, grasp that knowledge of the love of Jesus, then we can actually live a life that is full. We can live a life that is filled with our great and awesome God. And we can be measured against him, not the other things. We can be measured against Jesus. And when we do that, we bring glory and honor to our good and awesome God, who is able. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for another chance to open up your word. Lord, we thank you that you supply all of our needs. Lord, we thank you so much that you are a good, good God.
Lord, we cannot praise you and thank you enough for who you are and what you've done. And so, Lord, we just simply ask that you would embolden us, enable us to live a life that is pleasing to you, a life that gives you the glory. Help us, Lord, to make the right choices. Help us, Lord, to have the right heart attitude. Help us, Lord, to live for you. Thank you, Lord, for plucking us up out of that ditch. Time and time again, Lord, you reach down and you set us free. We praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.